Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
This is Matt and Bowen's podcast, and we'll be talking facts.
Matt and Bowen's facts.
Everyone out there listening, we're going to get to some facts. So let's get to some facts.
I am uncomfortable around human beings.
I don't trust human beings.
So I just butchered Mary M. Cosby's podcasting debut, which was documented on the premiere of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. But
one
was
of the
not,
most startling episodes.
The audio itself is not released.
See, and this is the thing, is I thought, so I actually, and this is a peek behind the curtain of the entertainment industry. I was able to see the episode a couple weeks ago. A friend sent me a link, and this happens. I'm blessed to have many friends.
You are an insider. How does it feel?
It feels incredible. I have many secrets about the entertainment industry that I could reveal, but they would get me into trouble with high people.
How many NDAs have you signed?
No, girl, not enough.
Girl.
Anyway, we what was I saying? We're so tired.
We're so tired. Okay, readers, publicists, because you're still publicists.
It's still award season.
It's still award season. We're very tired. We're coming at you. We're happy to be here.
Happy.
But you just have to level with... Well, we're going to level with you, and you
let
get on
know.
Our level.
Yeah.
We're tired. But that's tired. Okay. That's okay.
This is the last week of the Fire Island movie.
Yes.
And just know that it is going to be the great film of our time. It's going to be... it's definitely going to lead the Oscars.
I'm not kidding when I say that Matt Rogers... Don't go right now. Let me.
Go ahead.
Let me.
Go. And then I'll go
Matt
for you.
Matt Rogers delivers maybe the most balanced performance in the entire film.
You have to stop.
You are giving pure broad comedy, physical comedy, smart, incisive comedy about the culture. And that is what Jane Austen did best.
Honey.
And you are giving really beautiful emotional performances.
Thank you for saying that I'm doing well in the film. I have to return the compliment. I truly do. I have
Don't
to say that.
Now.
I have just, I'm going to go. I'm going there. I have yet again been impressed by Bowen Yang's gifts, his talents.
Oh my God.
And how he goes to, I mean, there is a scene in the film, and we can say it's a romantic comedy.
It's a rom-com.
So there is a scene, and Bowen is one of the leads of the film, so there is a scene where he is receiving he's receiving love, and I was standing on a boat.
Oh,
this is giving
spoiler.
Away a lot.
No,
but I was standing on a boat watching this happen, and I was like, Sandra Bullock herself.
Shut the
it was
fuck
from the Sandra
up.
Bullock School of You remember the scene? But this is one of my
the
favorite.
Proposal.
Let's talk romantic comedies for a second.
Are you about to talk about the proposal?
Yes.
Yeah.
The last scene in The Proposal, which is famous for two reasons. One, an iconic continuity error.
Clearly reshoots.
One vibes. Of the biggest continuity errors of all time. Her hair was a different head. She had gone through a full head transplant.
And did it revert back to the original?
Yes, it did. It was like, she turns around, she's like, what? What? Now the readers have seen it because the publicists have seen it because we've said.
We've talked about it.
She turns around and she's like, what? What? She's like barking orders. And then Ryan Reynolds is there and she goes, he's like, hey, I came here to see you. And it cuts back to her and she's like, Andrew. And she has a different head.
Different person, different skin tone.
Different woman.
Different things.
Clearly, they had to bring her back 6 months later to do reshoots. But it's also famous for me. Because Sandra, I don't really know what to say about what she does, but she's doing it in this scene. She is receiving the information of, I love you and I want to be with you from Ryan Reynolds. And it's so, you are the audience with her right there. You're receiving it too.
Yeah.
And I was watching you and I was like, my God, how the people are going to cheer for my girl.
Me?
And this is not spoilers because people know the story of Pride and Prejudice, okay?
Yes.
Jane wins. I've said it.
It is my yes, a thousand times yes moment.
It is truly gorge, and I'm so excited for it. And also, I mean, we're just so suffice it to say, we have a busy, well, let's just say this. Bowen Yang has a busy weekend. Next weekend, he's going to the Emmy Awards, and it's all going to go down. Positive or negative, still a winner.
Oh my God. No, I'm ready to just have fun.
Yes.
I've been like on my just grind all summer, and I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying, like, I'm like,
you've
oh,
been
God,
busy, girl.
I roll like, oh, this was supposed to be the summer that I like recharge, and I didn't do
you
it.
Were
it's
on the
fine,
campaign.
It's fine. I was on the campaign.
You were on the campaign trail.
No, it wasn't that. It was
Hillary.
It was. Let's just. This is just a peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm so lucky.
Yes.
And yet I am like constantly caught in this, you know, fun little cycle of, well, you're doing press for one show, you're doing press for another show, and then you're shooting one thing and you're shooting another, and then mm-hmm. you're shooting another. So whatever, this potentially could come off as so ungrateful,
mm-mm.
but it's still labor, you know,
it's still work.
And so, I should say that Matt and I both stand in solidarity with our IATSC brethren.
Absolutely.
And it is work for everybody. And at least I am not in a place where I am so emotionally exhausted on top of being like just mm-hmm. so deeply mistreated in some.
Oh, my God. No, let it be known that Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers are union girls.
We're union
and
girls.
And we stand with the union and we are pro-strike if it comes to that. Yes. Absolutely 100%. Because people need to be treated. And for those who are not aware, you know, this is about crew members being treated fairly. You know, we just need to make sure the wages are so much better than they currently are. They need to be fair.
Contracts need to be updated so that streamers are not considered new media anymore.
Absolutely. And also the hours, you know, it gets crazy and people are asked to be, people are worked to the bone in this industry. And
we're seeing it on our production. I mean, we love everybody working in the crew. They are having to ferry in like every single day. Like this is
incredibly difficult
work.
Job.
Very, very difficult.
And
job.
To think that, and you know, our set has been a happy one. And,
very
and
happy.
To,
the vibes
to,
are good.
But to know that that is not the case, you know, industry wide, you know, we are in support. But the reason I bring that up is because we are going to take next week off.
We're taking next week off. So, publicists, let that be a moment of respite for you to really start to strategically campaign for your categories. We'll talk about the awards in a second.
Yes, Darla. And so we're going to get to the awards, but we're taking next week off because we're going to wrap up the movie. Bowen's going to go either win or not win an Emmy, and both will be fine.
Yes.
And then we're going to regroup and we'll be back.
But I've just made peace with the outcome that I'm pretty sure will happen.
And Brett Goldstein.
Sure. Deserved win.
I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, and I know you don't love to talk about the awards of it all.
No, let's talk about it.
But I was like, you know, they really did that thing again where they nominated three shows.
Three shows, and then what will probably happen is one show will sweep the entire
and God bless.
Comedy. God bless.
And you know, God bless. But anyway, I'm obviously insanely proud of you either way.
Thank you,
Fish. And I have seen the gifts be given on the film. And this is what I was saying. You were truly receiving you just were giving me actress. You were giving me star and actress.
Babe, are you sure?
And on this podcast, we have to say that. That when we get the opportunity to be star or actress, if we had not come through on both, that would have been humiliating.
My sister, you have been both the entire time,
mom.
I look at me,
mom.
You are so fucking talented. It's crazy. It makes me. I have a note prepared for you for my little rap gift.
Oh, but and you know, Bowen Yang actually came back from. He took a ferry out to sort of get his rap gifts together. Came back with these bags, darling.
The gifts are not bags.
No,
I'm not going that.
Saying they were crazy. Bags with gifts.
Yes, they were bags with gifts. Anyway, okay. So
what I want to say is we're not going to be able to have the opportunity to do a write up right after the thing. This has been such an amazing experience.
Yes, truly,
and it's
incredible.
Been ups and downs because the subject matter has been. What it's been.
Emotional.
Yes. But the crew has been unbelievable. And when the movie is going to come out next year, we don't know when, but it will be out on Hulu next year. We definitely will be having people from the movie on. And just, it's going to be so exciting to share this with everyone.
Yes.
Truly.
So thank you for understanding in advance. And
the way you understood.
The way you understood.
Talking facts.
Talking facts with Matt and Bowen. Okay. So, what was I going to say? Oh my gosh, this is, I mean, you could say that we are potentially really checking the entertainment industry circle jerk part of that worst insult towards us nominee, mm-hmm. the Apple Podcast review.
Yeah, entertainment industry circle jerk. First of all, can we just say, out of all the nominations, it was so thrilling to watch them come in and see that Wendy Williams is now leading with 13 nominations.
Is that as many as Titanic or Return of the King had?
Get
the
this.
Oscars?
Titanic had 14 Oscar nominations, but that doesn't mean that we can't call the Wendy Williams.
The Titanic.
She is the Titanic of the Lost Culturistas Culture Awards.
2021 one. Do you think we'll do this again next year?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know because here's the thing. It was very 2021 Las Culturistas Culture Awards, but then you'll find that there were nominees from years ago.
Even though the categories, some categories specifically say blank of the year.
Of the year. Most shocking moment of the year. Like, no, there record weren't of the really year. Quote unquote rules. Record of the year. All I Want for Christmas Is You is nominated, and that was famously came out many years ago.
But it is a record of this year.
Because, hence its nomination.
Hence its nomination.
So the thing is, like, will there be one next year? I say watch the space.
Watch the space. But awards are, a lot of them, many of them are annual.
Many awards. It's actually Real Culture number 6. Awards, many of them are annual. And we just can't say. But, you know, like, watch the space. What was your favorite nominations that you saw roll in on nomination morning when Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang announced them?
I mean, there's so many. We should say we're not looking at them. So this is truly like off the top of our heads. I mean, best animal in the forest.
In the forest, I thought creatures unknown. I thought Creatures Unknown are an early front runner for best animal in the forest because that is one of the most spooky things.
It's one of the most distinctive things about the forest.
Creatures are known.
Which is the creatures unknown.
I mean, there's very much that thing of when you're in the forest and you hear a rustling and you go, what was that?
What was that? What was that?
What was that? Okay, James. Okay.
But, should we say our brains are full mush?
It's giving broken brain.
It's giving broken brain because all this cast does to each other is just quote and repeat the same fucking shit over and over again, which is mostly Wendy Williams moments, some Tiffany Pollard moments. You know, we'll do, it runs the gamut. We'll like recite Miranda Priestley lines.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just truly been a very like bottom gay of the set. Barrel. Can you imagine if there was even one heterosexual actor on this crew? This is my thing, is it's like, I can't even believe they do movies where straight people play gay people. I'm like, how do you do it? Like, the vibe would be broken.
Fun. I guarantee you it has not been that enjoyable for a straight actor to play a gay person. Because right. How do you plug into like what it is actually like to walk around and be gay and have a gay brain and think all these stupid fucking thoughts?
I mean, this actually reminds me of, okay, so the other day we were doing a scene where we all are lugging our stuff down like the bridge to get to our house, and we're like, ugh, the house is so far, whatever, and these gays walk by and judge us. And one of the extras was a straight man.
We love him.
Who we love. Theo.
We're going to name names?
Well, I'm just saying he's an icon.
He's an icon.
But I think he got the note like, so you're a gay man and you guys like a hot gay guy.
You're a catty gay guy.
Catty gay guys and you're judging them. So he walks by and when I tell you...
The limp wrist on him.
The limp wrist. He gave us his whole life when he was judging us. And I had to laugh.
So deeply funny and such a brutal, brutal, brutal portrayal
of a gay person,
of a gay bitch,
a gay judger.
Yes.
And then Andrew On, the director, bless his heart, was like, hey, whatever's going on with the wrist, probably just tone that down, but otherwise good. And so I was like, but it goes to the point of like, yeah, just like straight people having to occupy a queer, I guess he was not a professional actor, bless his heart, but like still it's work.
It is work. Like he has to like think about, like he has to really be an actor in that moment and think about all these choices. So I feel that for sure.
I just was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, the amount of shit that we have just spun off and done like as a group, and that's been really good. The bonding of the cast has been fun.
It's been so lovely.
If there was one heterosexual man, I just don't know.
Either that person would feel singled out or he would be like a little too indulgent in the idea that he was around a bunch of gay men and probably like fancy himself like, ooh, I'm special, you know?
Yeah, right. Or and you know, that is dangerous. When straight men start to feel special, that's very dangerous. That's actually Real Culture number 55.
When straight men start to feel special, that's very dangerous. Talk about what is there anything else about the awards that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, just off the top of my head, I'm so happy we singled out Creatures Unknown in the forest, the animals in the forest, because I was so shook by that nomination on nomination morning. And I also want to say shout out to Hot Engineer Doug, who did an amazing intro.
Oh, I loved that intro.
He really dropped in, and he was very much like the pomp and circumstance of the nominations really was felt.
The way he said, in 100 unique categories.
Unique categories.
such elan.
It was just amazing.
Just incredible. Thank you, Doug.
It was just amazing. And, you know, I have so many favorite nominees, but I will just say, like, in the big categories, like Artist of the Millennium, I was really happy to see Alyssa Edwards sneak in there.
And Mike White, to be honest.
Mike White, really late entry.
Mike White and late entry, but I think White Lotus really came in at the right time in the campaign for the nomination process because it was on people's minds. It was on the publicist's minds.
Yes. And then in other categories, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see Aquamarine take on Blue.
Very a lot of color. Do they cancel each other out? It's one of those.
And
things.
I guess not. I mean, otherwise, like, there would be vote splitting. Will there be vote splitting? That's actually something we have to ask.
I think there might be vote splitting between Shishito Peppers and Water for the Table for now.
Yeah,
Water
and that might have Chips all sneak in there and take it.
Yes.
So, anyway, suffice it to say, we don't know when the awards will be. They're not scheduled, and maybe they'll never happen, but definitely looking forward to that. Should we talk about something that really rocked the cast today? Because I think people might have thought that we might have already recorded our episode before we heard about Nicki Minaj's anti-vax stance, but we should also say this is a cast chock full of barbs.
So many barbs. I mean, just able to recite...
Oh,
beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Versus, like, we are barbs down. And the news today was hard. It was hard to take that.
How did you feel? Because I sort of ambled over to you and I just said bad news.
Well, and then I revealed to you that I already knew. Well, because Joel broke it to me
probably seconds before.
Seconds before you, mm-hmm. and he went, look,
mm-hmm.
like just like you know when someone comes to you with like,
look,
really bad news.
Yeah,
I was like. Oh my God, something terrible has happened. He goes, look. And I look at his phone and I see the tweet.
Uh-huh.
And I just go, oh no.
It's because the thing is, and then I did that thing where it's like you start in your brain to sort of form a defense. And
oh then my I was God, like, you want to protect the person.
I literally started to say out loud, well, you know, people have different. And then I was like, no, I'm sorry.
I'm aborting.
I'm hitting eject.
We're in September of 2021. Vaccines have been available for 8 months,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. This is how a lot of you know Woody Allen lovers must have felt. It's not quite the same, of course. He didn't, you know, cheat on his wife with his child, but.
What's that? Well, you said he didn't cheat on his wife with his child, and I said, well, she didn't.
Nikki did not. Of course, it's not. Her being anti-vax is not quite the same.
Not quite the same as
you know, statutory rape. But you know, mm-hmm. this is really, really troubling.
This and then for her to sort of elaborate that her cousin
became impotent because his testicles swelled
up so big, and then. So basically, for those who don't know, she tweeted that she's not attending the Met Gala because you had to get vaccinated. By the way, we'll talk about the Met Gala briefly. Mm-hmm. But you can't go to the Met Gala if you're not vaccinated. She's not getting vaccinated for the Met Gala. If she gets vaccinated, it will be for other reasons, which, by the way, she's working on. She said she's going to do her own research, and she's quote-unquote working on that research. And she said her cousin... got the vaccine and his balls blew up real big, so big he was impotent. And then the girl he was getting married to called off the wedding.
As if that is like a.
I don't even know
a scientifically relevant detail.
I don't even really know what to say because here's the thing. Unfortunately, it's funny. Unfortunately, it's funny.
She's a storyteller.
Unfortunately, a story was told.
This is the thing, and we even had this conversation today about other female artists who we admire,
mm-hmm.
and we won't name names, but we will say the reference point, which is, mm-hmm. look, us queers are still standing one Miss Azalea Banks today after all of the nasty things that have come out of her mouth,
mm-hmm.
which are sort of ultimately still sort of funny.
I mean, we laugh about it, so that must be something.
And so therefore, you're like, problematic faves, like we don't have to go through all the mental gymnastics to mm-hmm. defend them. We can just look at someone and say, wow, she's probably so rich and out of touch as a potential reason for why she might be anti-vax,
mm-hmm.
to be like, well, that's our girl, and she's a little bit more humanized, and we're not going to deify her in quite the same way as we did.
No, also,
do you know what I mean?
100%. And here's another thing, and this is sort of like erring on the side of defense, but it's not. No one has to know who your fave is. You know what I mean? Like, you can keep your problematic fave to yourself. I will come out here and say this. I sometimes will YouTube stream the Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani duet. Okay? There's a few of them.
That is brave of you.
I will sometimes stream the one that says, I don't want to go down any other road now. I don't want to love nobody but you. That was sort of a combination of Gwen and Blake that I was doing.
That was
vocally.
A beautiful, beautiful mimogram.
Thank you. And I stream that sometimes knowing full well that Gwen Stefani
is friends with Paul Ryan.
Might be some sort of uncouth, untoward figure.
Sure.
But, the art from the artist.
Do you think we as a society are doing a better job of that?
I think it depends. Here's the thing. Knowing Nicki Minaj is anti-vax and has this stupid fucking reason for it, when we hear Super Bass come on, are we not going to rush the floor?
Can I just point out something, not to like bring it back to us, was kind of snubbed at the awards. We didn't really nominate her, did we?
She really didn't get many nominations.
She and Tyra really didn't get...
Tyra was snubbed in a major way, and Nicki was snubbed in a major way. And maybe. We knew intrinsically that we felt
she would
this
disappoint
was
us somehow.
Because you and I are very in touch with the ethers.
Oh, I lick my finger, put it up to the wind.
Every morning. But we're very in touch with the ethers, and you and I are very sensitive to energy, and it's actually true that...
I 100% agree.
We're very in touch with the energy, and maybe this is a little woo-woo, but we're sort of... Sometimes what will happen is when Bowen and I are in a different state,
Bowen's plane
will sort of break
the airspace,
I will sort of... my whole body will sort of retch up, and I'll look to the sky, and I'll say, he's come. I know when he's coming.
No. Let me tell you the most recent occurrence of this, which was you were in town around May.
Oh my God!
Or April,
yes.
And I was supposed to meet you and Josh for an outside Drag Race viewing.
Yes, that Thorgy was hosting.
And then I showed up, and then I had not seen you in months.
Truly months. The longest we had ever gone, I think.
I think that might be true. And I turned the corner to this place, and you were right there.
Yes, and can I tell you something?
And I gasped.
It's because, and I actually, this is the most surreal thing I sensed. I was like, I have to go outside now. I know when I turn the corner, he's going to be turning the corner. And then it happened because I'm very sensitive to the energies and the ethers, and I know that you are too, and I just know when these things happen. So I think that maybe some sort of like psychological like thing was going on there where we knew not to nominate her because we didn't really feel that this was her moment to have a light shining on her. You know?
We did that. And I am so proud of us.
I'm so proud of us, period.
Period.
And
that's on period. Let's talk about the Met Gala. It's happening now as we speak.
It's literally,
we're looks recording
are,
this Monday night.
The looks are rolling in. The theme is some type of America.
American independence.
Girl, I don't know. Which I was like, what?
It's not specific enough.
Sometimes like the wording of the themes, I'm like, okay, but what is it? Like, I get that it's like, it was like, when they did the religious theme.
The Catholic imagination.
Yeah, that was the Catholic imagination or whatever. And it was just so sort of like frou-frou. I was like, okay, but what is it? What are we expecting to see?
You know what I love when it's every now and then they'll do based on designers. So they'll do like a Christian Dior year. They'll do like whatever, like Rei Kawakubo. That was the most recent one. And that I love. Like everyone's take on Comme des Garçons.
Yes.
That I love when it's specific. This is too broad.
Yeah, and it almost feels like a lot of the celebrities didn't know what to do with it, or they didn't want to do it. I think a lot of people look stunning. I'm just wondering exactly how they are ruminations on the theme. But I sort of leave the theme behind, and I'm like, okay, the theme
it's
is what
just
it is.
About, yeah, it's just about seeing the people in the clothes, and it's so fun.
Right, how do they look? And I think the chairs all looked really good. I thought Amanda Gorman looked unbelievable.
Timothy looked great. Ocean came in with a doll. We love
that. Was sort of Grogu appreciation. We loved that. I mean, let's just say legends only. I mean, Iman. Did you see Iman?
I saw Iman. That was crazy. Wow.
That was absolutely amazing. I mean, Billie Eilish looked fab.
Regal. And Oscar de la Renta, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, like, truly, I mean, there was great shit happening. I would say, I don't even want to really mention anyone that I don't think looked good.
Here's what I'll say.
It's frustrating and humiliating to watch someone show up in something hideous and then put on, like, a fashion face. I'm like, oh God.
Like you think they're trying too hard or something?
Like when someone is coming in with, like, that punam.
Punam.
Like, and they're wearing something, like, wrong.
I mean, that's, like... I'm like, we're going to do that. Everyone's going to do that in show. But, you know, like, it's just a phase that everyone has to go through.
Mm.
You know, it's just like, you got to, like, be able to, like, perceive your... I'm on this journey where I'm like, I'm learning through this process to, like, know what I look like and how I look my best.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are on their own journey.
You know what? I also think it's often not up to the people that look bad on the runway that they looked bad. And that the more you...
Isn't that so sad? Like, yes. It's not their fault.
Yes. It's just like, this is why, well, I don't know. Like, I read something with Reese Witherspoon where she's like, and she's like privileged to do this, mm-hmm. but she's like, for every red carpet thing, she has like six dresses there,
right.
and she never actually makes a decision until the day, which I didn't know that's something that they did.
Yeah, they can do that. I mean, like, typically it's like a lot of people don't finalize their look until like days before something, especially for big events like the Oscars or the Met Gala or like,
right.
like big thing.
Because you don't want to be married to something that you then put on and feel bad in.
Exactly. And then there's no recourse after that.
There's simply no recourse after that.
And so it's also just like, imagine going like the mm-hmm. stress of that.
That's a big one because literally it's not even just like I get to go and enjoy it. It's I get to go and primarily... be a topic of fashion discussion, which is
just to be name checked by someone.
And there's also no,
which is great.
Yeah. And but what I mean is like there's no bigger assumption that someone takes themselves seriously more than them arriving at the Met Gala and like being like, here's my look.
Yeah.
Because if you're one of those people that's there being photographed in a Met Gala look mm-hmm. because you were invited, that says to everyone like, oh no, yeah, I take myself this seriously mm-hmm. and I'm presenting this to you as not only fashion, but art and like cultural mm-hmm. discussion. Mm-hmm. So have at it. And that is brave.
Because you're really putting yourself out there in the most high risk way.
Yeah, because that's like, if you're a flop, then people are going to be talking for a prolonged period of time about how you flopped.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean... Damn. So in that way, it's bravery and truth.
It is brave. No, I'm literally, and this is, okay, some fucking idiot's going to think we're like stumping for celebrity rights. No, mm-hmm. but it's just like psychologically that has to have some effect on you.
Here's what I'll say. 4 years ago, I might have gotten on this podcast and been like, so-and-so looked a wreck, flop, whatever. But now that I know a little bit more about it, I'm going to be a little nicer.
And that's great. Rare.
And that's actually GRWTH growth.
Growth. Natasha Rothwell GIF. Post it now.
We don't drag anyone for looking bad at the Met Gala because you know what? Maybe it was someone else. Maybe so many things could go wrong.
So many things could go wrong. By the way, look, this is just, again, if you can't tell by now, this is just a culture recap episode. We haven't done one of
these
in a while.
This is a culture catch-up.
Culture catch-up. I mistermed it.
No.
So much culture to talk about.
And wait, we sort of touched on Salt Lake at the top.
Yeah.
We did say, Joel Kim!
Okay.
So he said that he wanted to come in and talk about Salt Lake with us because last night we all watched Salt Lake together. Now, here's the thing. Like I said, I saw it a few weeks ago.
Yes, you saw it
and
early.
And I had even sent the link
here
to my sisters, but I'm actually really happy that we all waited to discuss it together. Joel Kim's here. Now,
say hi, Joel. Say hi.
Hello.
So basically what we found was that it was one of the best episodes of Housewives in recent memory, and we also felt that it was far and away... a best season opener.
Oh my God.
I mean, what were our general thoughts?
I think the ladies, after a season of watching themselves, have sort of awoken in the machine a little bit, and they understand what they need. They understand the assignment better, as often they do in the second seasons of these shows. Like, they know that they are now archetypes. They are not human beings.
Yes.
They no longer exist as humans to us.
But it's a thing where all of them know are plugging in the right way, because sometimes you get housewives who watch themselves on TV for one season and then they kind of change course in a way that is not great for them. I think all of them understand what they should do, but there are going to be some flops.
except for Heather. I think Heather is gunning for a bad second season.
Yeah,
this is what I'll say about Heather. I think Heather is again gauging it wrong. I think she's playing, and she was like, I told you guys about what she was like on Watch What Happens Live. She really flopped on Watch What Happens Live, being like, I think that Jen's business is unsavory. I've thought that from the beginning,
but I am still
her friend because she's fun and smart. It's like, honey, that's not what fun and smart people do.
No.
But I will say that she'll be watchable. And she'll be a good housewife.
But
and
she'll
every
be,
single one of them are going to be good housewives this
season.
They're all set up.
But Heather will just be confounding, especially. You'll be like, what are you doing?
I mean, you often see this, I think, with either girls who are going into their second season, or with this show, it's the second season in general. She's going in high of her own supply.
Yes!
And oh, how the mighty will fall. We saw this season. We saw it this season with Leah.
Yeah,
we saw it with let us not forget Leanne Locken coming off an amazing season from season 4 to season 5.
Real culture number 14. Let us not forget Leanne Locken.
It happens all the time, and she will be humbled. She will be humbled.
Absolutely. And it's the Rihanna follow that always fucks these women up.
I have to confront Joel Kim.
Okay.
Because I have to, this is one of my favorite things to do, is confront people on the podcast. So we're sort of sitting here in Bowen's bedroom, like watching the show last night, and we start with Lisa going over to Jen's house. And about 6 times during the episode, Joel Kim turned to me and said, "You are Lisa, you are Lisa, you are Lisa," to the point where it started to feel like a drag.
No.
But I want you to know that Lisa's powerful this season, and Lisa is riding a Trojan horse. And I agree with her in the conflict with Meredith, which is going to become a conflict? No. But Lisa is here as a housewife to stay. And people said she was going to be out soon. I don't think she's out soon.
I don't think she's out soon. And it was not a drag. I simply believe that you are an active listener in the same way that Lisa is an active listener.
Describe what you mean.
I would be telling you, like literally anytime I tell you a story, it is a lot of amazing. Absolutely.
Love that.
How many times did she say I love this?
I'm sure it was like the editor's, I love this.
I also do respect anyone that rides from fast food place to fast food place in like a Mercedes Benz.
She still looks like that.
Wait, do you guys feel that she's your sister because of her passion for Diet Coke?
Yes.
I do feel connected to her about that.
Yeah, I feel very connected to her about that.
I would like to transition us now, because if you're calling me out, then I want to start by simply bringing up the topic of Mary M. Cosby.
Yeah. Okay, we brought up at the beginning, but let's really dive deep.
First of all, I just want to say that I think Mary is sort of poised to become one of our greatest housewives, legendary. I believe
she is great, and
I believe that she is incredible and amazing for the show, and that she is dangerous and should be removed from television immediately.
Yeah.
I fear for my life. I fear for the lives of those around her. I think she's dangerous. I think she is an incredible piece of television history.
Yeah.
She is anti-narrative. She is anti-narrative.
We were saying the three of us that the podcast is anti-structure.
Yeah. Well, when Mary M. Cosby comes on Housewives of Salt Lake City, the show actually becomes avant-garde.
Yes.
It becomes theater of the mind. It becomes Odyssey of the mind.
Odyssey.
It becomes sort of journey into another level of subconscious.
A metaverse.
Yeah, because she says things like, I don't belong in this world. And she says,
I don't trust human beings.
And then she sort of gets into it. I was born by God. I was born for God. These sort of things which are so... And then when they cut to her in her hat and she says, I don't want to drink Jen's friendship juice. That's the sort of stuff that creeps me out. It skeezes me out. I'm like, it's always an overreaction, but never enough of a reaction. Also, where is it coming from?
I've never seen someone literally move through space like she does.
No. Or talking to herself.
Talking to herself. I'm like, this is really, really unsettling, because I've not seen a human being like this ever in my life.
No.
and let it be known that her podcast completely missing from the internet.
Yes, yes.
Those mics were not plugged in. And here's where the call out comes in, because again, I do love Mary. She is in my top five. I think she's a terrorist. I think she's obviously taking advantage of people, and she is maybe one of the most evil people to ever appear on a Bravo reality television show. And I believe that her rise can be directly attributed to your platforming of this awful, amazing person.
I would agree, and I have no regrets. Do you have regrets?
Well, we did say, I think there was a bad news day for her, and then you and I texted each other, like, we have to rescind.
We almost said we had to get on and do a whole episode rescinding that whole episode, which would have been too much.
I don't stand by it. I think I kind of agree with Joel, and I think we should rescind the day.
I guess what we have to say again is watch this space.
Watch this space.
Whitney dropping the cake was iconography.
Rule of threes, perfection.
Rule of threes, perfection. That was a great moment. I thought all of Meredith's scenes were good. We got to see a deeper side of Meredith. I think Meredith is
poised to have the best.
The queen.
I think that Meredith is positioning herself very much in the way that Kyle has managed to do in a lot of ways, in that Kyle is sort of the conduit for a lot of personal drama in her own life without being in conflict with a lot of the
yes.
ladies. LVP notwithstanding, some of that stuff, but there are few housewives that you can sort of settle into and watch them deal with personal family drama without yes. the conflict with the other women. Now, she's obviously activating a little bit more this season.
Right. She's engaging.
She is engaging.
To use Meredith speak.
But I'm happy to watch her go through her marriage problems. I'm happy to watch her deal with her father's death. I'm happy to watch her put a dog in a sweater. I'm
Christian Cowan sweater. Christian the product Cowan placement sweater. Was on point. She said exactly, she I know the assignment, my fashion assignment.
Yes.
I find her to be very compelling. And I absolutely. Find her resistance to drama in itself a drama.
Well, it's not resistance to drama because she has a very steadfast value system, let's say. I mean, her talking about Brooks and protecting Brooks' sexuality in a way that is kind of bogus, but to be like, Brooks has never talked about his sexuality.
We have to dig into that, by the way.
And he was referred to as a twig.
As a twig.
Specifically, there was one post referring to him as a twink.
That
was, and that there is now a narrative. We are now existing in a world where Brooks Marks' sexuality is in question. His sexuality, he's barely spoken about it even to me, let alone to Jen Shah, my family. I mean, it's iconography.
I have done nothing to Jennifer Shah.
This is what I think about Meredith. In any good show, you have a will they or won't they. A will they, won't they narrative.
Sam and Rachel,
either way, could work.
Could work.
The will they,
Jim
won't they.
Jim
thank
and
you.
Pam.
That's another one.
Yes.
And the will they, won't they of Salt Lake is Meredith and the narrative.
That, oh my God.
The will
God.
They, won't they of Salt Lake is Meredith Marks and the narrative of the show. Is she too good for it? Or is she going to get messy? And we have answered the question.
She called the feds.
She called the feds. And they're insinuating that she called the feds on Jen, which, by the way, we haven't even brought up Jen, which is insane.
No,
that this episode was chock full of enough that we're not even talking
about Jen.
About biggest jester flop nominee, Jen Shah of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She is almost definitely going to jail. And we saw the first minute or so of the episode depicted the actual fleeing of the beauty lab scene that was Jen Shah getting the call that she was going to be arrested.
Chills that in the 2 months earlier cutaway, she says to who...
To
I would go to jail
Lisa,
for you.
I, you know I would go to jail for you. I haven't gone to jail yet. I'm
this,
telling you.
This a five-star episode.
There was no... And this is in a golden era of Housewives, and we can all agree.
It's a golden
in an
era.
Episode where pretty much every episode of Beverly Hills is almost five stars, if not at least four.
And Potomac I've enjoyed very
Potomac
much
has
season.
Been great, and Potomac continues to be great. I definitely, like, we're at a little bit of a stall.
I know.
And this was, I think, the first episode that we thought... Maybe Escala needs to give more.
Yeah.
Lots of shots of Escala putting food in her mouth this week.
Not
lots
a good sign. Not a good sign.
Of
and that. She's only had one confessional look this whole time, hasn't she?
We need more.
We need more. I just want to really quickly quote Meredith Marks again. Horrible, despicable, repugnant things.
About my family.
Yeah, I mean, just wonderful, wonderful poetry there. Hits the ear just right.
You know, and also this is another thing about Whitney. I want to just jump back to her. It's very hard for me to hear anyone say the words work hard, play hard, and me still like them. And when she said that she was teaching her adult stepchildren that she works hard and play hard and they can too, I was like, you know what? That's actually good. And yes, those kids need that. Those 29-year-old men that are her sons need a figure like her to show them work hard, play hard.
Oh, and that's all Mormons want. A 20-year-old Mormon in their 20s wants to hear or to really internalize is you work hard, play hard. That's what LuLaRoe is all about. I can't wait to watch LuLaRoe.
Oh, we can't Lula wait Rich. To watch that. LuLaRich. Have you heard about LuLaRich?
I only know about it in the context of that man being upset about Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
That
has been a lightning rod of controversy.
Yes, unfortunately.
We watched Bowen Yang's interview. So now I'm with two people who have been on the Kelly Clarkson show, and I am her biggest fan, and I'm not one of them. We just watched Bowen Yang's charming interview on her show.
It was fine. I was nervous.
But she apparently is featured in the LuLaRich documentary, I guess.
Because she performed a private concert.
She performed a private concert for LuLaRoe, which actually makes a perfect amount of sense. But
we're going to watch the documentary. I might even watch it tonight with my friends, if you wish.
That's insane. We have to be up in like 6 hours.
Damn, you're right. Well,
There have been early calls.
This to is
suggest
tired.
Watching LuLaRich when we have to be up in 6 hours.
I would love to watch an informative documentary with my friends.
Where? What network is it on?
Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Which is huge for them. You know, I actually, what I mean that in the streaming wars, they didn't have a big
doc.
Landmark doc. And
right.
Now they're going to have one.
Yeah.
Before I let Joel float off back into Sleepy Town, I want to know your thoughts, everyone's thoughts on new housewife Jenny.
Jenny.
What did we think of her compelling personal narrative and backstory?
An interesting, compelling personal narrative. I need to see more.
I need to see more. I will say, this is my problem with Jenny, is that she's not making a big enough play at sort of the branding, like right mm-hmm. off the bat, her tagline, I have enough of everything, even secrets. What is it?
I have enough of everything, especially opinions.
Especially opinions. Something like that. Very generic stuff.
So generic.
Could be said of any housewife. And that's tough.
And based on the trailer clips of her, it seems like she's just kind of pulling conflict out of thin air in a way
like
that doesn't
feel good. Who's not working out?
Like Mia's not working out, unfortunately.
No star quality there either. It is interesting that they really pulled the lever and said, we will have Asian women on these franchises.
Suddenly there's one on every franchise.
Right.
They're
right.
Really sort of they're colonizing every city.
They're colonizing the Asians are colonizing the Bravo. And it's interesting that she still fits within this sort of this theme of Salt Lake City, which is, oh, you have a religious person, and here we have Catholicism represented.
Yeah,
I would like to see a predominantly Asian housewife city. I think something in the Bay Area,
something that's genius,
you know, or retool Orange County to be mostly Asian.
Sure. Oh my God, that would be great.
I want to see that.
I want to see that
on my TV.
Yes. Say
like
that.
See it.
I would like to see it.
Wait, there was one other thing. The taglines. So I think we've all agreed that this fleet of taglines was amongst the best
one
we've heard.
One of the best. Collective.
But I think we all can say together what the number one, maybe best housewives tagline, and this
ever.
Is going to really close the loop on the beginning of this episode, which is,
if you come for me, I will send Jesus after you.
And it doesn't get scarier or bigger than Jesus.
Truly, I feel the impact still. It has not worn off.
It's not left me.
Well, and we have seen women weaponize Christianity on these shows.
Yes.
We've seen women sort of base their entire thing around Christianity. Never have we seen someone evoke Jesus' name in such a way.
As if she hired a friend, a hitman. Jesus, imagine Jesus chasing you down.
Yeah, or arriving at nothing scarier than arriving in a dark hall, dark like alleyway, and seeing Jesus.
Jesus, come after
you. You would really second guess a lot.
And he pins you down, and you, in your dying breath, the last thing you say is, "Who sent you?" And he says,
"Mary M. Cosby,
my close personal friend, my sister, who was born of me." More frightening.
Truly, I have chills.
I have chills. I've never experienced a television show like this. It is, I think, with one episode out the gate, you realize that the first season of the show actually was, even in the moments where it didn't feel like it was popping off, everything was essential. Every woman is set up for success.
Yes.
The narratives are, we scream laughing every time we see Whitney say, "We are in danger."
She's not who she says she is, or Lisa.
Lisa,
what is? She's not who she says she is.
I just don't think she is who we think she is, or who she says she is. Whatever it is,
shaking.
I gotta say, even the commercials,
I'll never fast
that
forward.
That woman. What is the line from the show?
That's a different thing, though.
No. I'm saying the commercials that played during the episode.
Oh, yes. What? That woman is a disruptor.
What is that from?
What is
that from?
It's from some movie. The Yaya Show.
Oh. That woman is a disruptor.
I mean, really good stuff on Bravo, top to bottom.
Speaking of words like disruptor, trespassing, Candace Dillard Bassett heard about her Las Culturistas Culture Award nominations. And she said, what categories? !!
Someone said, at Candace, I can't believe, what a thrill for her to be nominated in three categories. The same number of categories that Joel Kim Booster's.
Do you have any response to your three nominations?
I have to say, when I heard about them, I was shocked. I will say, I do feel like I am sort of being set up to lose for the joke, and I'm fine with that.
No.
I'm fine with that. Even though
I understand what the joke would be.
I think it's pretty clear what the joke is.
I feel like the what's clear is that Matt and I will lose our categories, but the people who really deserve the awards and will be publicized heavily will win. And
whoever the funniest gay man is will win.
Whoever had the funniest, I don't think so, whoever should deserve the Joy Behar stand-up
award
comedy.
For comedy. I think it's just going to come down to who did the best stand-up.
Wait, actually, I don't even know who else is nominated, but besides me and Pat, for the Joy Behar one.
It's you, Katie Pat, Perry. And Katy Perry for her work in the VMAs when she hosted that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The VMAs. Okay. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And I think between the three of you, in my
opinion,
I was going to say, it's a clear front runner is Joel.
It's the Joy Behar Award for stand-up comedy. It's not best stand-up.
I
don't know why I have to explain it.
And this is the thing. Some of those awards, the namesake awards, the namesakes were nominated.
So yes.
Tina Turner was nominated for the Tina Turner Legend
She was
Award.
Nominated.
Joy Behar was not nominated for the Joy Behar Award.
No, she was. Joy Behar, it's kind of like Diablo Cody Award for screenwriting. Diablo Cody for Juno,
nominees.
Diablo Cody for Young Adult, and Nia Vardalos for My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And it's just going to come down to who deserves the Diablo Cody Award for screenwriting. Doesn't mean one of those scripts that Diablo Cody wrote is the winner. And I don't really understand why I have to explain this.
No. I'm sorry to make you explain that. I'm just saying.
It's labor.
I just want to really disprove this notion that Joel has that he is being set up to lose.
He thinks it's a bit. He thinks it's being set up for a joke, he said.
This is a months-long process.
This is award season. It's very serious. Get out of here.
I will say, I approached Matt on set. I'll say it. On set.
Yeah.
And he was hunched over his phone.
Hunched
over his phone. And I said, "What are you doing?" And you said, "I'm voting." And I thought maybe in the California recall election that
on his
coming.
Phone,
which I did in my ballot was counted. And if you haven't voted yet, you must
please vote California.
And he was. It was the. It was actually the ballot for the Las Culturistas Award. And he said, he looked me dead in the eyes, and he said, "I don't think you're going to win."
You said that?
I don't remember saying that.
You did. No. You did.
How dare you?
I didn't say that.
I think you look guilty.
You look hella guilty. It might have been It might have been more so that you were saying, I'm not voting for you.
Which he only has one vote.
I would never say who I voted for.
I haven't voted for anybody.
I have never in any election said who I voted for. I don't think it's right to talk about politics. Race, religion, creed, or politics. We're not talking about that. Not, no. I'm like Ramona. I don't like talking about race, religion, or creed.
Sexy girlfriend stuff.
Speaking of sexy girlfriend stuff, do you have anything to say about the following topics? Kylie Sonique wins Drag Race.
Amazing. Love. As soon as she tripped and recovered, I said, there's the winner.
There's the winner.
Bowen, in a sentence, what do you think about Kylie Sonique winning Drag Race?
What a beautiful journey. What a true, full redemption arc. In a season of many redemption arcs, what a lovely thing to end on her sort of, you know, really triumphing.
Beautiful. I would say I agree. I think that also, I don't really know who else would have won. Okay, now I want to give you to have a one sentence review of Kacey Musgraves' Starcrossed. Jill Kim.
I hope she gets 10 more divorces.
It really has provided good work. Bowen Yang.
I will say Cherry Blossoms is an acceptable moment of musical appropriation of Asian culture.
And I was wondering if you thought that, because I said, I really like this song when it started. And you said, is that Cherry Blossoms? And I said, yes. And then I wondered if you didn't like the song.
And did I go, no, I love that song.
I really love it too.
It's a gorgeous song. And she throws in some like fun, like Japanese, like whatever, like.
Yeah.
Bus,
it had influences.
Public trans. And she loves Japan. She loves Japan. What? What, Joel?
I want her to come out like Katy Perry at the VMAs.
Yeah, I think full she should do really good.
Full geisha.
Unconditionally.
I thought you were saying she should come out and do stand-up. I don't think so. Can I say, I don't think Kacey Musgraves would be as good a comedian as Katy. I really don't.
But she was on a live with Meg Stalter the other day promoting the film, and Meg Stalter, one of the stars of Starcrossed, the film.
Yes, that's true.
And she and Meg were doing bits galore, and I think just Kacey could really roll with the comedians.
I would agree. And I think that my review of Kacey Musgraves' Starcrossed is, it's so difficult to be cinematic yet intimate, and it was pulled off.
And you said that to me earlier at dinner, and I was like, you're so right, and this is my girl with the incisive commentary. You and I love Kacey from the jump.
We actually are the reason why. So similar to what you said about Mary M. Cosby, we're actually the reason why Kacey Musgraves is popular with gay men. Because we wrote for Vulture.
We wrote for Vulture and we said, gay people, pay attention.
Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers were actually the two most influential Vulture writers. That's not true. I'm reading this off the internet. Yeah, that's what it says.
Hunter Harris, eat your heart
she
out.
She can eat her ass out.
Oh my God.
What do you think of Kristen Stewart becoming the front runner for Best Actress for playing the 19th person that's done Princess Diana this year?
I will say, and I said this online, and a lot of people tagged you in it, I am not holding space for bandwagon Kristen Stewart fans. Sure. I have been there from the beginning.
Oh my God.
I was there during Personal Shopper. It was there during Clouds' Sils Maria.
So you were there during the good performances.
I was there during Twilight. Sure. I was there during Panic Room.
Okay.
All good. What do you think of Kristen Stewart becoming the best actress frontrunner?
For anyone who thinks they might be right in doubting her, all I have to say is, grammatically, this doesn't make sense.
They don't.
I will say this. When I saw that trailer and she said they don't.
Chills.
I really got the chills. And Pablo de Lorraine, you are a Jackie fan.
Were you a Jackie fan? Oh, I love Jackie.
Jackie was, and you know what they said? That people that have seen Spencer said that it is a spiritual sister film
to Jackie.
And they said that, you know, it would make a good trio.
Girardi, Brittany. Jane. And they call
Brittany.
It Girardi.
But wouldn't you think it would be interesting to see a Pablo Lorraine Brittany movie?
100%. One of our modern princesses.
That's
royalty.
Dove Cameron's Oscar. And everyone's asking, what's Dove Cameron's Oscar?
Everyone's asking?
A lot of people are asking.
Name on everyone's lips is Dove Cameron.
Dove Cameron. Wonderful. We love Dove.
Another cultural topic.
Everyone watch like Dove Cameron interviews.
Yeah.
She's a real fucking girl.
Okay. Mary fuck kill. Mary fuck kill, Charlie XCX, Good Ones, Chloe Mercy,
Have Mercy,
Muna, and Phoebe Bridgers, Silk Chiffon.
This is
really hard.
And these are the three bops that have come out during production.
There've been really good
go
releases.
First. Okay. I'm gonna marry Silk Chiffon. I'm gonna I'm going to fuck Mercy, and I'm going to kill Charlie XCX Good Ones because of the funeral imagery, and I think that's what Charlie would want because of what she did in the music video, and that's the way I'm going to salvage the answer.
Okay.
So I actually have the same response, but I will say, I have a slightly different reason for killing Charlie XCX, and it's because it's too damn short.
Yeah,
it's too damn short.
Well, she's
the songs are too damn short.
She's making a chart play. It's too short. She wants the streaming numbers to go up, and she wants to show
respect
up
yourself.
I think we're all gonna fuck Have Mercy. Just well, like I, Chloe was fucking us in that music video.
But we're all marrying Silk Chiffon.
Yes.
I might...
We love those girls.
I might fuck Good Ones just because it gives me like... So Have Mercy, we were talking to our HMU queens.
Yes.
Heads, Rashida Bolden and Amber Morrow. They both are like, we like it. It's a little... It's just really intense in the way that it is... really sexualizing Chloe.
Yeah.
And it is like, it feels somewhat calculated in whatever way. I don't fully agree with that. I don't fully disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I just think, I watch the Have Mercy video and I go, wow, I feel bad about myself.
Right.
And I don't, and I can't have sex with someone who I'm intimidated by.
I felt like the Have Mercy video, I was like, this is such a Beyonce production.
Yes.
That I almost feel like, but I wonder, like, she's such a machine. I'm like, I'm only excited to see what's next. And I'm not surprised she can do this. I guess this is
a great thing for her to come out the gate with.
Right. This wasn't like a thing of like, wow, this artist just gave it to me in a way I never knew they could. It's like, I kind of knew this was coming, but I'm thrilled to see it.
Yes, yes. But I'm going to fuck Good Ones and I'm sorry, kill Have Mercy because I'm scared.
Right, you are frightened.
I'm frightened.
You want to kill what you're afraid of.
But I love that Dante Colley is in it.
Yeah.
Amazing dancer.
But we're all marrying Silk Chiffon. And we love the ladies. Now, this is the last cultural topic.
They're not all ladies, we should say.
Oh.
But
we love, yes,
we love
Muna.
Them. We love Muna.
Doug, do your thing.
We love them.
We love them. Now, the last cultural topic I want to discuss is, what do you think of all of a sudden every young girl putting out a cover of Defying Gravity because they know they're auditioning for Alphaba, and who is your Alphaba? Talk to me
this
about that
tough.
Now. Bowen Yang, you're first. Who do you want to see as Alphaba and Glinda?
I'm not the one to answer this. I really am not. But
you feel
I
not think, qualified?
I think whenever I go to Ariana Grande's Instagram and I see that she follows John M. Chu, director of the Wicked adaptation, I mm-hmm. think this has to happen. She has to be Alphaba.
It almost feels like we'd all have blue balls if she wasn't in it.
A little bit, right? Like mm-hmm. she would be the draw for everybody. Think about the generational reach that she would have mm-hmm. if she were to be cast.
Mm-hmm.
Either as Alphaba, I think she'd be good as either, honestly.
I think she'd be good as either.
Oh, Joel just laughed.
You chuckled.
I'm chuckling because I'm remembering last week when I made you sing The Wizard and I as a sim, because that is what a friend and I believe Ariana sounds like when she sings The Wizard and I.
Yeah.
And Matt doesn't know what Simlish is. And if the readers, I know I didn't stop you, but it is one of the funniest recordings. And I wish you could play it. I'll play it for you tomorrow.
Now, okay, so that I don't know. I don't know how to answer this. I'm so sorry. I'm not qualified.
Well, I also think Ariana Grande should be in the film because I just think, why the hell not?
Why the hell not?
And I would also say that I, since the beginning, have been, by the way, Emmy winner, Kiki Palmer.
Oh my god, yes.
I think Kiki Palmer would be good as Glinda.
She'd be an amazing Glinda.
I think she'd be a good as Glinda, and I think she also has an Alphaba voice. I think we should be thinking of Kiki Palmer more for every part.
For every part.
But I'm just saying for this as well, I also think Madame Morrible should be Catherine Zeta-Jones. That's the only thing I'm positive
Interesting.
About.
Interesting.
Catherine Zeta would be amazing, like cuckoo, like Madame Morrible.
I'm thinking like a Christine Baranski.
Interesting.
And maybe that's too similar to her in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, you know, like that.
She is very like that.
Speaking of Dove Cameron would be an amazing Glinda.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing enough color in these choices. I would like
Ashley Park.
I would like to see my BIPOC queen, Jessie J.
Iconic BIPOC. When she put out that Defying Gravity cover, I said, it's finally great to see an iconic BIPOC sing this song. Am I not allowed?
No, you are. It just sounds so...
I love when I get to see BIPOCs win.
Someone at a party here on the island, when that the day that video came out of Jessie J singing Defying Gravity came out, I mean, Joel and I had checked in with each other. We were both like, we both had our opinions about it. This person comes up to me, gorgeous guy, couldn't tell if he was making a move on me, but he was like, but Jessie J, a remix of Domino by Jessie J came on, and then he reached over to me and said, have we seen the video of Jessie J singing Defying Gravity? And I go, I have indeed. And he goes, what do we think? And right as I was about to open my mouth to be like, I don't know, he said, I thought she was incredible. And I was like,
and that was a Jessie J fan right there.
And that was a Jessie J fan right there.
In his bag.
In his bag. And I was like, oh, okay. Let's just let this go. This man.
I think it has to be said that the video was incredible in a lot of ways.
Oh, it's an incredible video.
The camera angles alone.
She sang it effortlessly.
Oh my God.
But here's the thing with Defying Gravity.
You need to act it.
I don't think it should sound effortless. It should sound like the biggest effort in her life thus far.
Yes.
I feel
the turn.
Yes, I feel
she should be metamorphosizing.
It should feel like Idina Menzel about to die.
Oh my!
Which is how it originally was.
Right, right.
Idina Menzel killed herself out there.
This is why the Brandi Siobhan Massey moment is so iconic. It's because she literally is like losing her mind a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she's like, I'm changed.
Yes.
I'm a changed
and
person.
And that's why it's nominated for Best Live Performance by a Woman at the Las Culturistas Culture Awards.
Thank you, Brandi. We love you.
I wanted to touch on that. Joel Kim, would you've sort of become an honorary guest on the episode. Would you like to stay for I Don't Think So, Honey? Do you have anything to get off your chest? Or do you want to wait while we do it and then maybe decide at the end?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I
honor that.
Basically, what you need to know, everyone at home, is two things. One, I Don't Think So, Honey is a one-minute segment that we do on every episode of Las Culturistas, which is sort of a minute-long period for us to just sort of... Bowen, what would you say? If you could make a noise that exemplifies I Don't Think So, Honey, what is it?
That's it.
Yeah. And so that's like that. And also you need to know another thing, which is that I decided on my topic for I Don't Think So, Honey, and then Joel Kim seconds later dragged a very similar topic. He was like, I don't think so. What are you gonna do? I Don't Think So, Honey. Bees. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna do this.
Something else. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Insects that bite. Yes, it includes bees, but this also encompasses the very, very rude and not off-sighted biting insect, which is the horsefly, which was dragging the girls to hell today.
It was hard.
We were shooting a scene that takes place at T, spoiler, and we were down by the harbor, and let me tell you, the horseflies were out to night, and they were out to bite. Namely, the cast of Fire Island.
Now, at the ankles.
At the ankles, the knees, the shins. Sometimes the neck. Really tough stuff. Also, turning to the bees, we don't need them. I Don't Think So, Honey, bees, that we need you, because a lot of people are out here saying, well, you know, we need bees. It's like, you dig a little bit, you go on the internet for 2 seconds. Why do you need bees? You need them for corn. Guess what? I don't like corn. I don't need corn. I don't need anything that goes in looking the one way and comes out the same, unless it's a dick. Dick should go in looking one way, come out looking the exact same. No poop. I don't think so.
1 minute. So we have something factually wrong, which is that if bees were to die off, we would just need to be eating more corn because other flowering vegetables would not be pollinating.
So I've been told thing wrong.
No. You got the corn thing right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I got the corn thing.
You got the corn thing wrong.
Okay, I'm sorry.
My sources tell me that roughly 40% of the crops that we eat would die out, and it would be bad if the bees died, but it would not be catastrophic. It would not be
40% sounds
world.
Catastrophic.
No. That's we still got corn, baby. We still got
and
corn.
And I said I could live off of corn, and you two queens said, no, I actually don't like corn, which is shocking.
I don't like corn that much. There was a scene the other day where I was given a prop bag and my character had bought a lot of corn. And I handed it back. I said, my character wouldn't do this.
And what you were really saying was
but then
Matt
they gave
Rogers
the prop back. They gave the prop bag back and they said, you'd better take this. Wow. And they said, you better take this. You better take this prop back.
Well, that was a brave one.
All I'm saying is, biting, you know, insects. They've been really a nuisance lately.
Well, I was potentially going to do, and I don't think so, honey, butterflies. That's just good PR because they're, at the end of the day, just as disgusting as of insects as others.
Okay.
And why do we give them a free pass?
Because they have outward aesthetic, which is beautiful.
But according to who? Like, according to what aesthetic? According to what?
And you know, like, what? You're so right. I almost wish you would have done this.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying. But you're being specific and you're saying bugs that bite.
Bugs that bite.
At least butterflies don't bite.
Bugs that bite. I mean, like, it's just... And here's the thing. It's like, they say, like, oh, don't bother the bee. Don't wave at the bee. Then it won't bite you. I wasn't doing anything.
Anything. No.
I wasn't doing anything. I was minding my own business. I was actually doing my job.
Yeah.
Today.
Thank you very much. Say that.
Bowen, do you have an I don't think so, honey?
I do.
Well... Lucky us, because we have time tonight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. High fives. Open palm hand contact is very aggressively heterosexual to me. The only queer way to have hand contact with someone is to interlock your fingers. Am I right, or am I fucking right? No more high fives. Queer people, if you see each other, if you want to congratulate each other, triumph in something, share a moment together, do something else. Look, make eye contact. Hold each other's faces in your hands, mm-hmm. and say, wow, good job. I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. Not high five. None of that.
30
what
seconds.
What are we, in fucking fourth grade? Remember the day that you discovered what a high five was and you thought you were the coolest fucking person in the world? Mm. Those days are long gone. Mm. You're an old person now. You're at least 45 years old if you listen to this podcast. That's the median age of this podcast, I'm told. Just seconds. Kidding. I just made that up. But high fives, stop it. If you high five someone again, please live in some shame that you have adopted straight culture into your life.
5 seconds.
Even if you are straight, please start to queer your hand contact going forward.
And that's 1 minute. Two things. The mean age of listeners of this podcast is 26.
Is this real?
I guess. And the second thing is, this is a direct drag on me, someone that high-fived Bowen today as a bit.
And that's what inspired me. I don't think so, honey. But it was a bit, and I knew it was a bit, because we don't high five.
We do not.
And this is the thing, is that queer people are have queered that already.
Yeah.
And the people who remain high fivers, I go, what pain are you holding on to?
Yeah, you're so right.
Thank you.
I and also in the year of our Lord 2021, where it's COVID.
Oh no.
Not high fiving.
Keep it to the elbows.
I will say, I don't like the elbow thing either, because I feel like it's like a comment on the fact that we can't high five.
It's a reminder.
And it does bring me back. It brings mentally. You know what I mean? Like, if we're gonna bump elbows, I'm like, oh god, I didn't need this, and now I just remember that we can't shake hands.
Exactly. But like, you can.
But you can.
You can
get vaccinated.
I'm like Nikki. Okay, Joel. Then you can go to a restaurant.
Would you like to do one?
You would do a great one, I think. If you have a something on your mind.
You know, it would be grasping.
We've been grasping.
I know, I listen to your podcast every week.
I listen to your podcast every week.
This is Joel Kim Boosters. I don't think, would you like to start? Do you want another moment?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is Joel Kim Boosters. I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Photo dumps, okay? Do not put me in a photo dump, okay?
Oh.
I am a prize to be won. I am not going to appear in a photo dump next to a landscape shot that you thought was artistic but were too ashamed to put on your grid,
wow.
Sir. I do not be side by side with a meme.
A meme?
No, not me and a meme. No.
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 I will not. I will be on the grid. I will be front and center because I have put in the work.
30
honey,
seconds.
I don't think so, honey. Photo dumps. You sound gross. You sound fecal. Fecal in nature.
Fecal
in nature. You sound like something that goes in the toilet, and that's what you are, photo dumps. You are something that goes in the toilet. Because I have never scrolled through a photo dump and enjoyed myself. I have never gone on that journey and gotten to the end and said, that was worth my time. Stop putting photo dumps on Instagram.
5 seconds.
Respect yourself, respect me, and respect everyone's time.
That's 1 minute. This is a true master of the form.
For me, it's the word dump. That's what I object to. And I believe, you know, it's been said before.
Oh, so it's not the concept. So even if someone were to post a photo, no, but you're saying like all of it is an issue.
Uncouth.
I think the content is bad too.
Yeah, because you know, if you're intentionally, posting 10,
it's supposed to be, it's like intentionally ironic. It's too much of a wink sometimes.
I don't think at any given time there's 10 photos that haven't been posted to Grid by themselves that are worthy of Grid. And if it's the sixth thing in a photo dump, it's still Grid. And that's humiliating. Yeah. And I would hate to be seventh in Grid. And this is, I'm saying this as someone who's done this before. But I just called them a bunch of photos. I would never call them a photo dump.
You're a bunch of photos. Here's a slideshow.
I think I'm showing my age a little bit.
No.
I think I am. I think my adherence to the grid and sort of the specialness of the grid is my 33.
We show our age all the time on this podcast, because can I say something? We are in our 30s.
We're in our 30s. I love it.
Like, people were saying the other day, did you watch the VMAs? This is a culture podcast. One of the music's second biggest night happened the other night. No, I didn't watch it.
We didn't watch. We're so sorry.
No, I didn't. I don't know who they are. I don't know who the girls are.
I know some of them. We know some of them, don't we?
There are a lot of people who are putting X's where vowels should be in their names.
Let's say that. Let's just say that.
And now we said it.
And now we said it. Damn.
I don't like it.
Okay. 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 All right. And their names, just in their names.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's say this. This has been a real culture catch up.
It really went in directions I didn't expect. And that's what makes for the best culture catch up
episode. That's one of the most beautiful podcast episodes.
Although we had our friend join us, our friend who really, Matt and I were very earnest with each other up top about our experiences on this movie and just complimenting each other. We have to. I think it is very... It is very.
It would be untoward.
It would be untoward if we did not say that Joel Kim Booster,
number one on the call sheet, every step of the way,
number one on the call sheet, wrote this movie, EPing this movie, making decisions, creative decisions, rewriting scenes with this, as we're shooting,
and then starring in the film, and then every scene.
I told him that I've talked to you about this so much throughout this process. I go, he's really done something incredible,
Joel Kim.
Joel Kim Booster, he's written this movie that I don't think anyone I know could have done.
We're very excited.
We're very excited. We're so proud
and grateful.
And we're so thankful that he brought us on to this.
And we love him so much. You know what happened earlier today, which I think would actually be a good cap on the pod?
Yes.
Is we sort of broke out into a gorgeous harmony on a song we'll sing right now. But before we say, I want to say, I watched Impeachment and I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
And then now it's a complete culture catch-up. Okay, everyone, and a one and a two.
Goodbye to you. Goodbye to everything that I knew. You're the one I love. The one thing that I tried to hold on to. The one goodbye to you. Goodbye to everything that I knew. Well, you're the one I love. The one thing that I tried to hold on to. The one thing that I tried to hold on to.
And for more of that song, listen to the Spirit Room. Michelle Branch, now celebrating its 20th anniversary.
Wow, we need her on the pod.
We need her on the pod. Bye.